We're going to preach a message this morning. I've entitled it Seed Trodden Down. Seed Trodden Down. If you will notice in verse number 12 at the end of it, the whole purpose that Satan, the devil, wanted to take away the seed of the Word of God from the hearts of individuals is so that they would not believe that they might be saved. That was his whole concern. I think all of us understand that principle, that he does not want folk to be saved. And it's through the Word of God, the conviction of the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, that will cause people to hear and believe and be saved. So Satan does everything he can to trod down the Word of God, the seed, so that it will not be able to be used, the fowl of the air, or as he said down in verse 12, it's Satan himself. He sends adversaries and many other things. We'll talk about it in a little while, but he sends all kinds of things to pluck the Word of God from an individual's heart so that they won't be saved, so they won't believe. I believe also he does that for Christians. I believe the Word of God is preached Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday in our churches across America where the Word of God is being preached. I believe God uses that Word in we Christians' lives to help us and to build us into what we ought to be. But I also believe that Satan is busy plucking the seed, the Word of God, from our hearts so that we won't change, we won't be different, we won't get on fire for God. I believe that's the way he does it. And so this morning we just want to preach to you a message which I've entitled Seed Trodden Down. Three different things here that we see in the Bible here. We see the seed, we see the sower, and we see the soil that it is planted in. And this is the different ways the Word of God is received in the heart. The seed, according to verse number 11, chapter 8, the seed is the Word of God. Now the parable is this, the seed is the Word of God. I want to settle that in your heart. Because he's talking about the Word of God when he talks about the seed being sown. It's the Word of God. He says so right here. He tells us, leaves no doubt about it. If you notice in verse number 12, we find out also what the soil is. He says that those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. The soil is the hearts of men. He'll do anything he can to pluck that from your heart. Amen. He doesn't want it, first of all, to get to your heart. If it gets to your head, he's not too worried as long as it don't go to your heart. But he wants it plucked. Satan wants to pluck it from our hearts. The sower is anyone who takes the Bible, the Word of God, and sows it. It can be a preacher, it can be a missionary, it can be a Sunday school teacher, it can be a soul winner. It can be anybody who has taken the Word of God and sowing it into people's lives and hearts. So we know that we have the seed, the Word of God, the soil is the heart, and the sower is anyone who is proclaiming the Word of God. What this does in this portion of Scripture, I did not read those verses in between because I'm only dealing with that one first one today, but there's three other soils that the seed falls on. And he tells us the different ways in which the heart receives the word according to the condition of the soil or the condition of the heart. How they receive it. He gives us four different responses. I don't think he's dividing this. I don't get this out of the scripture. He's dividing this into quarters. In other words, there's a quarter is going to be on the wayside. The seed's going to fall on the wayside. Some upon thorny ground and some upon rocky ground and some upon good ground. I don't think he's saying to us it's going to be divided into quarters there. What he's telling us is there's four different responses to the Word of God. Four different responses. To God's word. So what he's doing, what he's telling us, and before we basically get into this, I'd like to give you some things that, first of all, I think it does for me. This parable has always been a blessing to me because one time in my early Christian life as a preacher, God taught me something very, very important. He taught me that it's the condition of the soil, it's the response of the soil, it's not the seed sower. Now, a lot of people want to blame it on the seed sower. If he would just sow it better. Well, how better can you sow the word of God than to proclaim the word of God? It's the word of God is the seed. It's not the sower, but it's the seed that's going to take root and do something in a person's life. You see, that helped me. Because I tell you, there's times you can really get discouraged. You can get discouraged when you don't see results. I'm talking about all of us. Times you sow and you sow the word of God and you give the word of God and you give it out and you don't see a whole lot of results. I'm talking about as far as maybe people getting saved. And a lot of people getting saved, you don't see the results of it. Well, I want to say something to you. Just keep on sowing the word of God. Because it's not up to the sower. It's not the sower that determines whether it's going to take root or not. It's the condition of the soil or the heart, whether it's received or not. Amen? So, you know, the Bible says, and that's the way I feel about this, is I just want to keep sowing. And I just want you to keep sowing. You don't see a whole lot of results? Just keep sowing. More seeds you sow, the more opportunity there's going to be for results to come. But the Bible says in 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, the 8th verse, every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. I'm not going to get a reward for your labor. You will. You're not going to get a reward for my labor. I will. I'm not saying that wrongly. No, I'm just saying that's what the Word of God says. According to his own labor. Amen. So just keep sowing. He didn't say for how many that you see come to Christ. He says for your own labor. Just keep a sowing. Amen. Don't quit sowing. Just keep sowing the word of God. And so we have four different conditions here of soil. We're going to only use one of them, but we have four different conditions. But also, to me, it helps me count decisions probably different than a lot of people count decisions. Let me show you why. In verse number 13 and 14, he says, and they on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. What I'm saying to you about counting decisions is simply this. I want to see hundreds and, if we could, thousands of decisions for Christ. I would love to see that. I would love to see as many as we can see. But time will tell the story of whether they were sowed on the rock or amongst the thorns or by the wayside. So I give a little bit of time. I rejoice in the fact someone got saved. I rejoice in that, thank God for it, and have no thought in my mind that they did not. But I want to give them time, because time will tell. Whether it was on a rock, whether it was amongst the thorns, or whether it was by the wayside, time will tell. Amen. So again, that helps me because I count decisions just a little bit different to what some people do. I get excited about them. I mean it. I get excited. I go out and see someone saved. I'm so excited. I mean, I rejoice inside. I'm just jumping up and down inside. And when I hear of other ones, I jump up and down. I really do inside. I don't do too much outward jumping. I used to maybe. But I rejoice and thank God for it. But you gotta give it time. And see if it was on a rock or if it was by the wayside or whether it was by the thorns. Not only that, God taught me in this parable that the problem is never the seed. The problem is not the seed. It's the Word of God. Folks, we don't need to change the seed. We don't need to get another perversion. We just need to preach the same old book, the King James Bible, that we've been preaching for 33 years. Just keep preaching it. The seed doesn't need to be changed. The problem is not the seed. The problem is the condition of the soil, which is the hearts. Now, I'm just going to, as I said, talk to you about one of those this morning. We found that in verse number 4, verse number 5, and verse number 12 gives the meaning of it. But first of all, I just simply want to look at the condition of the soil. The Bible calls it the wayside. This soil, or this seed, fell on the wayside. That wayside means a pathway or a road. And so the seed, when it is sown, just simply lays on top of this hard ground. It doesn't penetrate it. You've got to remember, back in those days, they sowed this seed by hand. Brother Jack, be a hard thing to sow a couple thousand acres of land by hand. But they have planters, and they've got drills, and they've got all kinds of instruments that makes a furrow in the ground, and the seed is placed into that, and then it's covered up, and they drill them in sometimes. I remember when I was a boy working on a farm, he planted tomatoes. Mr. Netzer planted tomatoes, and I remember had a tomato planter. And we would ride on this. There was four of us would ride on this thing in seats. And you would do every other one. There was just a little thing that come around and grabbed the tomato plant. You put it in the right way, you know. Don't do it upside down. You put that in there. You slop it in there. It'd take it down to the ground. It was digging a furrow. There was a furrow maker down there. And as soon as it went into the ground, there was a wheel that was a split wheel that came right in behind it and covered it up and put pressure on it, pushed the dirt right in around. And we just go right down through there. One, it's two rows, but you'd do every other one. You'd have plants in your hand, you'd do every other one. So I'm simply saying to you, you know, this wasn't done that way. They done it by hand. They spread the seed by hand. And so the condition of the soil, you've got to remember too, back in those days, and maybe this will help us. Back in those days, they didn't have, like you and I, maybe you see fenced off fields and things like that. They had just fields, open fields everywhere. And there was roads and pathways that went right down through the middle of these fields for people to walk on and for them to ride their horses or however they got around. And they'd just go right down through the field. So when some of the seed was being sown, some of that seed would fall on what was called the wayside or the hard packed down ground. The roadway or the pathway where people had been walking. So because of that, it was hard. It was all packed down. And so the birds and fowls and things would just follow along, and it didn't fall into the little crevices of the loose dirt. It would fall on this packed ground. And because of that, the birds was able to come and pluck it away. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But folks, listen to me. Hearts of man have been just trodden down. And they're hard. They're packed. And what God is trying to teach us is the condition of the heart that is hard and packed down, and the seed just falls on the top of it, and it's not allowed to sink in to penetrate the ground whatsoever, and it just sits there, and the fowl of the air come and they pluck it up, and the Bible said he's Satan that does that. So how was it received? It couldn't penetrate, so the ground did not receive it as it would, it should. You see, and that's what you find in people. They're closed to all reasoning many times about the Bible. You've probably come upon some of these people where the ground is so packed down, and they don't want really nothing to do about the Bible. They don't even want to consider their soul's condition. They're just hard. C- concerning life and the things of God. Scripture seems to have no effect upon them. They're just hard. They won't receive it. They won't listen to it. And until there's a softening by the Holy Spirit of God to soften that ground, they won't receive it. It's just old hard ground. That's how it's received. Also, and I'm going to go over to Matthew, the same account over in Matthew. If you want to turn there, be fine, the 13th chapter of the book of Matthew. Let me read you here. It's the same parable, same teaching, but in verse number 19, when it says, "When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receiveth seed by the wayside." Here you say, here it tells us that there's no understanding. They do not understand the Bible. They have no spiritual discernment whatsoever. That's why I want to caution all of us. We've got to understand something as we deal with adults or children or whoever it may be. There has to be the Holy Spirit conviction, discernment spiritually, that they're lost without God and they need to be saved. They need to know that. You cannot have someone get saved if there's no conviction of sin. I say that to my Sunday school teachers. Say that anybody that deals with children or even in adults, you've got to understand something. It's not a few words that they say that saves their heart, saves their soul. It's conviction by the Holy Spirit of God, convicting them of sin and their need of Christ. See, this is a ground here. They had no discernment, spiritual discernment whatsoever. They had no understanding. And so it cannot apply to them. They don't know how to apply it to themselves. You see, they have no understanding. The Bible says the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God for their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them for they're spiritually discerned. Amen. You see, to be able to understand the Scripture and the Word of God, you got to have the Holy Spirit, God's conviction upon your life. I wasn't saved back in 1966 because I decided to make a decision. You can call it a decision if you want to, but I wanted Christ. I knew my need of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to forgive my sin and give me eternal life. It wasn't just something I said at an altar of prayer. It was something that I did between me and God, repenting and asking God to save me. You see, these people that are hard-hearted like that, they can read the Word of God and cannot understand it. They don't have any understanding about it. It's ground that is all trodden down. It's packed. They have no interest in hearing about the Word of God. They have no interest in thinking that the Word of God may be speaking about them. Oh, they're interested in politics. They're interested in sports. They're interested in the worldly things, certain things that interest them, they're interested in, and have quite a lot of understanding about them. But when it comes to the Word of God, they have no interest whatsoever. Why? Because the soil is bad. The soil is packed, trodden down, and the seed can't penetrate. Oh, you can get those kind of people to suppers. You can get them to all kind of entertainments. But when you mention the preaching of the Word of God, they're just not interested in that. Why? Because the seed has fallen upon the wayside, upon the road and the pathway that's been trodden down. Now you're saying to me, Brother Ross, should we stop sowing? Oh, no, no. You don't get fruit by quit sowing. You've got to continue to sow. You see, but there's going to be that seed that's going to fall on by the wayside, the hard packed ground. The Bible tells us here in the book of Luke, and I'll read verse 5 again in chapter 8. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside and was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. The Bible talks about being trodden down, trampled underfoot. To treat with rudeness and insult is what that means. To not care what it says. Not be concerned of what it says. Why? Because the soil is hard and it's packed and has no interest. I want to show you an interesting portion of scripture that kind of goes along with this. We're going to go back to the book of Hebrews. The 10th chapter of the book of Hebrews. Verse number 28. He that despised, that's Hebrews 10, verse 28. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Oh, how much sore punishment shall ye be he thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified, an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that has said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord, and again the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Those with hard hearts do not understand what a fearful thing it is to fall into the hands of the living God. You see, he even talks up here that when you reject the message of the Word of God, the message of Jesus Christ, it's like trodden underfoot the Son of God and treating the Spirit of God with despite. See, what we don't understand, the Word of God that is sown, and it's there to do a work. And when we trod upon that seed, the Word of God, it's like trodden upon the Son of God himself. For he is the Word of God. And it's trodden upon his blood, his finished work, and upon the Holy Spirit of God who's trying to convict us of our sin and turn us to God. See, folk today don't really understand the seriousness of turning down the Word of God and Jesus Christ as Savior. The reason they do that is because they have hard hearts, been trodden down, beat down. It is not allowed to do anything in their lives. And you say, Brother Ross, is that true as we Christians? Well, I believe it can. I believe Christians can get hard hearts. I believe we can. No, maybe not in the fact of being saved and believing and be saved, but I believe we can get hard hearts to where the Word of God just don't do anything for us. We don't have any reaction to it. We don't let it do anything to us. If it's going to change our life, forget it. You understand what I'm saying? Folks, this is so serious. The path, the heart gets so trodden down that the seed cannot penetrate it. And then we find what happens because of that in verse number 5, chapter 8. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. The Bible says that the fowls come along and plucked it away. Who are the fowl? Well, the fowl, according to verse number 12, is the devil. And I believe something. I believe he sends all kinds of adversaries to take care of that and do that work. I believe when the Word of God is preached on Sunday morning, I believe many people go home and turn on their TVs. And I believe when the TV comes on, the spiritual things that they have just heard go out the window. The old devil goes, I got that one. It may be a newspaper. You go home, pick up the Sunday newspaper. You begin to read it, and all at once Satan, well, that's gone. Give no thought whatsoever to what was preached. Let me say to you, after services is one of the most important times there is. You get into worldly conversations immediately after the prayer has been said to dismiss us. The Word of God has just had an opportunity to do something in our hearts. And all at once, here we are in worldly conversations. And Satan goes, that which God had been trying to do through the Word of God is gone. It's plucked. You know why God, you know why the God of this world has taken prayer and taking the Word of God, especially out of schools? So that they, because they might believe and be saved. Do you know why he's done such a work on getting the Word of God out of the schools of America? Don't you understand that? Don't you have a comprehension? The devil has done that. Don't you understand why he doesn't want the colleges in America teaching the Word of God? And they don't. I'm talking about the secular colleges. They don't. Not allowed to and won't. And then I always hear these stories. Oh, I know some college professor. He's such a wonderful Christian. Baloney. He's not allowed to teach the Word of God in that school. And anywhere you're not allowed to teach the Word of God, you ought to get out. Amen. So Satan, why? Who's behind all? Satan is. The devil is. He's plucking the Word of God. He's taken it away from just about every public forum there is. And the shame of it is he's taking it out of our churches. All across this land, there's churches, so-called churches this morning, that you'll never hear about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died on the cross for their sins, and that they can be saved by putting their faith and trust in him and him alone. Churches all across this land that are playing games this morning, having some kind of ritual. Satan has plucked the Word of God from even the churches in America. As I've said to you before, and I'll say it again, cannot control it, but even before a sermon, before services, I think that time is an important time. We are preparing to hear from the Word of God. I think it's time we got our hearts prepared, conditioned, so that we'll be able to hear the Word of God. I believe after the sermon is preached, it's an important time. I've said to you many times, why would you ever disturb an invitation? Why would you do that? You may not be interested, but there may be somebody else that needs the Word of God, and you just causing a disturbance will absolutely just cut that off. I have people sometimes get up and leave, and they say they have to. I'm not talking about emergency type situations. You don't have to get up and leave the preaching of the Word of God. This is something I haven't dealt with, but I will deal with it now because you're my people. I don't ever want pictures taken while there's somebody preaching in this pulpit. Nobody preaching in this pulpit. Don't you ever take pictures. There, you can get somebody back up here afterwards. It's not a time for entertainment. It's a time for the Word of God to be preached. Why is it that as soon as we're done, old Satan goes and plucks it from the roadway? It's gone. I'm going to go over to the book of Mark. The same situation, Mark, the fourth chapter. Verse 15, I'll just read that one verse. It's the same parable. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they had heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. Did you notice the word immediately? Immediately. When I was a young boy, I did quite a bit of farming. And I still remember, it's been years and years back, a few. And I still remember getting on that Alice Chamber, putting a 3-point plow on the back of it. That's all. That's what he had. That's what they'd done with back then. 4 was a big deal. And going across that field, plowing that ground, and as soon as you start plowing, the birds begin to follow you. I mean immediately. You know why? Because they know you're going to turn up the worms. And they love worms. and grubs and all of those things. But they don't wait. I mean, you can hardly get down the road very far, and all at once the birds are coming in. You wonder where they've come from. Immediately. It's exactly what Satan does. Satan comes immediately and plucks away the word of God. See, while the seed is being sowed, I can't imagine what they did back in those days in sowing that seed by hand. And I know they've had to look around and see the birds coming in, because that's what birds do. Plucking some of that seed up, and especially that fell by the wayside, because it was on good, solid, hard ground, and they didn't have any problem getting it. And they done it quickly. And Satan does it quickly. In any way that he can do it. He might say to an unsaved person, well, I know, I need to get saved, but, you know, I need to think about this. Quickly. You don't need to think about getting saved. If you're unsaved, you need to get saved. And you need to do it now. You don't need to wait. You need to do it now. You need not put it off. You need to do it now. Why? Because the seed is being sowed. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's God the Son. He died on a cross for your sins. And he wants to forgive you and give you eternal life. And he'll do that if you'll just be willing to receive him and let that seed take root and grow. Yes, he will. See, but old Satan comes along and does his best to pluck it. So what's he do in verse number 12 of Luke, chapter 8? Verse number 12, those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. What's he do? He takes it away. I mean, he takes it away, folks. He just takes it away. He plucks it, and it's not there anymore. You hear me? So isn't it important that we, as a church, do our best to make it conducive to folk when the word of God is being preached, to give them no opportunity, no outside thing that will cause them to turn away and not listen to the word of God? Amen? Let me just say something to you, and I think you'll all agree with this. What you have to say or what you have to do is not near as important as what God wants to do. God's work and God's word is much more important than you or I. Amen? Because we might be instruments that'll be used to pluck the word of God from somebody's heart. Amen? Now, folks, I'm just going to go. You don't have to go there, but I'm just going to go and read one verse of Scripture. Well, I may read two. Out of the book of Amos, chapter 8, I want you to listen. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. There's a famine in our land in hearing the word of God. Will not listen. We went to a funeral the other day, and I'm going to tell him myself, and I got so mad at myself, I practiced what I tell you. I went to a funeral. It was in the afternoon. It was at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It was to Brother Jason's grandfather. And Laura's grandfather and Bonnie's father-in-law. And went to that funeral, and I found myself getting sleepy. I did. You say, Brother Ross, are you saying that you don't think anybody ought to get sleepy? No, we're all human beings. We are. I found myself getting sleepy, so I sat there and I pulled one leg up just a little bit, about an inch off the floor. And I tried to do something. I tried to work on it, because I want to tell you, I felt ashamed. There was a man of God up there preaching. And I said to myself, this isn't right. I got all over myself. I'm serious. I got all over myself. So I know the tendency sometimes. We're all human beings. But what I'm saying simply to you is, listen, there is a famine of even wanting to hear the word of God. That's why we have a lot of the wood showing this morning in our pews. because there's a famine of wanting to even hear it. And then when it is heard, Satan is right there, ready to pluck it. Don't know your heart's condition this morning, but I trust and I pray it's not trodden down like a road or a pathway where the seed of the Word of God is simply sowed on the top of it and is so easy plucked by old Satan and all of his devices that he uses to pluck it. Maybe you're here this morning, you say to me, Brother Ross, I'm not saved. I do not know. If I died, I'd go to heaven. God had this message for you. You need to trust Christ. You need to do so while the ground is soft. You don't want to wait till it just gets harder and harder and harder. Some people listen to preaching so long, they just hearts get hard. You don't want to do that. You want to be soft and pliable where God can do something for you. If you're unsaved, God wants to save you and give you eternal life. If you're a Christian and there's things that God's been trying to speak to you about, you want to open up your heart and make your heart soft and pliable so that God can speak to you. We ask you to please let him do that this morning as we pray. Heavenly Father, again today I thank you for the wonderful grace of God, your goodness, your kindness. Thank you for who you are, the great, the true, the living God, the only God. Thank you for sending your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. Was buried and rose again that we might have eternal life. And I pray, Lord, if there's anyone here, Lord, that's unsaved, I pray this will be the day of their salvation. I pray for we as Christians to open our hearts. Lord, listen to the Word of God and not let it be plucked so easily from us. So, Father, once again, I place this invitation into your hands, asking, Father, you have your will and your way. In Christ's name, amen. Please stand.